Well, amen. That is the application of the message we preached this morning. Amen. And what a blessing God's grace is, and how it needs to be applied. And He giveth that grace to the humble. And what a blessing. Thank you, Ashley, for that message and song tonight. And what a blessing it is to have been already in the services. I mean, taking advantage of opportunities that God opens for us to draw closer to Him. And if you didn't come to church tonight, you'd already missed out on everything that's taken place so far. Just the assembling of ourselves together, being able to encourage and admonish one another, and singing songs, praises to the Lord, being ministered to by the very message of song, and then being able to open our Bibles and study the very precious words of God. And so what a blessing it is to be in church tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Nehemiah, On Sunday evenings, we've been going through and studying on the divisions of the Bible. The first five books of the Pentateuch. We've already went through and studied that and the purpose for each one of those books. And then we're looking at the historical books. These are the books that carry the timeline of the history of Israel. And each one of these books will advance the timeline of the history of Israel. And the history of Israel is what we are to learn from. And the Lord made it very clear that we are to learn from all of the examples that God has given to us in the Old Testament from the nation of Israel. And we are to be admonished by that, and we are to learn from that and apply those biblical principles to our lives. And so that's what we've been doing, is going through and studying on these historical books of the Bible. There's 12 books of history as we go through the Old Testament. Last week, we looked at the book of Ezra, and underneath the book of Ezra, in the book of Ezra, we find that there was two main things. First of all, God opened the door for Zerubbabel to lead a remnant back to build the temple of God, which is a miracle in and of itself. But God can perform miracles in opening doors for us. Amen. And He opened the door for Zerubbabel to lead that remnant back. And they rebuilt the temple of God back in the homeland. It wasn't long after that, though, that they had slipped back into rebellion, even in the homeland with the temple being there. And so then after that, we find that in the book of Ezra, then Ezra, God opened the door for another remnant to return a second time. And this would have been led by Ezra. He led a group back to restore God's laws. Because the temple, the building, is nothing outside of the laws, outside of doing it and using it the way that God intended for us to use the temple. Well, that lasted for a little while. Then 12 years after Ezra went back to restore the laws of God, and that would have been looked at as revival, then we find the book of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, God opens a door a third time for another remnant to go back, and this remnant would be under the leadership of Nehemiah, and this time they would rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. These walls are very important. They had the temple, they even had the law, but there was something missing, because even with that, they kept falling back into rebellion. The walls would represent safety, law, and order. Can I tell you that you have to have these things in order to have stability in your life? You have to have these things in order to have stability in the church. Safety. Not just the building. Not just the Bible, the law. You have to establish some walls for safety, for law, and for order. Go ahead and stand with me. Let's read here in the book of Nehemiah, the first 11 verses, the first chapter, if you will, in this great book of the Bible. The Bible says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hilkiah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, concerning Jerusalem, those that had went back and had rebuilt the temple, and then the other group that went back and rebuilt and established the law. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants whose desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you tonight, it is a blessing to be in church. Thank you for what we've already received. But God, we're still a needy people, and we have need of everything that you have for us tonight. And so I pray that you would now just anoint the preaching of thy word, use it to speak to each and every one of us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Nehemiah was praying that God would open a third door. Another opportunity to lead a remnant back into the homeland. Because they realized that the temple had been built, the laws had been established, but there were no walls. And because there was no walls, there was no stability in the land. See, the walls would represent safety. To safeguard, to keep the enemy out. Can I tell you that that's something that every parent needs to realize? You have a home, husband, a wife, children, praise the Lord for that. You might even have the Word of God. You might have the Bible out on your nightstands and sitting around the room. You might even be going to church. You have the law. You have the Word of God. You know what it is. But there's no walls. There's no safety, even in the home. You're allowing the devil to come in through whatever means. Television is a very easy way to let the devil in, to influence your children and to influence you and your family. The wrong kind of music, wrong kind of standards. Borrowing from the world for entertainment, allowing these kind of things to influence you in your home. And you might have a home that you want God to bless, and you might have the Bible out, but because of no walls, no safeguards, the home's just not what it ought to be. Law and order is doing things God's way. Doctrines, the doctrines of the Bible provide structure. Amen. You want to raise your children to turn out right? Establish structure. Guidelines. not that you have established by you and even their mother and father, but by a higher power than the parent. Establish structure based upon the authority of a creator God. I love it. You talk to my girls, they tell you, they used to come to me and ask me if they could do certain things as they got in their teenage years. And I said, I don't know. What does the Bible say about that? Have you prayed about it? What would God say? Would God let you do that? If you don't think that God would let you do it, don't ask me. I'm just here serving Him. But I will serve Him. And we will abide by the Word of God. Oh, Dad, come on. I'm dead serious. Because I know that's the structure that all of us need. Guidelines. Nehemiah realized that it had not worked by God opening the door for the remnant to go down to build the temple. The temple was needed. Praise the Lord for that. That was a good beginning. But that wasn't enough to establish the true worship and the service to God back in the homeland. It wasn't much time after that they fell away. God opened another door. Now Ezra led back and he established the laws of God. Praise the Lord for that. They had them, and there for a while there was revival. But it didn't last because there was no walls protecting the city. There was nothing to keep the enemy out. And after a while, 12 years, they had went back into the ways of the people of the land. And Nehemiah, God put in his heart, the reason for this is there's no walls. And he started praying, God, open another door. You did it before, do it again. Allow me, because God had put it in Nehemiah's heart to go back and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He said, God, open another door. And God would open another door. There's three points in Nehemiah, if you'd read through it, and that's what I'm wanting just to get you interested in the book so you go back home and read it and get more out of it when you read the Bible, especially in the book of Nehemiah. The first three chapters is building the walls. Chapter 4 through 6, the next three chapters is facing the opposition. Anytime you look to do something right, anytime you're looking to serve God and establish things that God wants you to establish, there will be opposition because we have an adversary. There is an enemy out there. They're facing opposition, and then the restoring of the Word of God with the walls established is chapter 7 to chapter 13. So here, first of all, building the walls, the task at hand. It came by way of Nehemiah when he asked what was going on, and he understood what was actually taking place in the land, the need for the walls. Nehemiah had a heart for God and his people. In verse 2 it says, and Hanani, one of the brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews. He was interested in it. He wanted the worship of God to take place. He wanted the children of God to serve God. Listen to me, parents. If you want your children to serve God, you have to desire that. They will not do it by accident. We are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is what God has commanded us. And every parent will stand and give an account to an almighty God for what God has instructed us to do. It's not God's will that any child be left on their own to be raised by the world or by this government or by anyone else other than the parents. Now that's God's will. We know that's not what's taking place. But just because it's not taking place, don't blame God. God's made it very clear that's how He wants every child to be raised. But those that know the words of God and know what God says, listen to me, there is a higher accountability, a higher degree of accountability to believers who know this and who fail to do what they know they ought to be doing. So Nehemiah God put it in his heart. He was concerned about what was taking place in Jerusalem. A need to restore the walls. He knew what needed to be done. In verse 4 it says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." He knew exactly what needed to be done. He just had to get back there. He was a king's cupbearer. It would take an act of God to allow his cupbearer to leave him and to go back and establish the walls of Jerusalem. And he prayed. Verses 8 through 11, that's his prayer. Nehemiah was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to do. He just cried out to God, "Lord, allow me to go back and help the people of Israel. Help your children to establish walls." After this, we find that Nehemiah, after he got the okay, he would have to prepare himself. He would have to prepare himself to be able to lead in restoring and rebuilding the walls. Look at chapter 2 with me, verse 11. So now he's in Jerusalem. He's there. Where do I start? Have you ever asked yourself that, parent? God finally has got it through your thick skull, and you realize some of the things that we've done and making mistakes and raising our children. And if we're not careful, we'll just give up and say, "Well, it's too late now." But never, it's never too late. As long as you have any kind of influence over your children, it's never too late. You want to maintain your influence over your children. While they're under your roof, you not only maintain an influence, you maintain an authority. If they're living under your roof, you have the authority for them to do what you say they need to do. Now, once they leave your house and they establish their own home, then they've left your authority, but you still ought to have that influence over them and use your influence over them. I love it this morning. We had one of the ladies here, and she got me and says, "I'm 70. Today is my birthday. I'm 75. I said, "Praise the Lord for that." And she says, "I called every one of my children. I told them what I wanted for my birthday is for all of you to be in church today." She had three pews over here filled with their children. I said, "Praise God." I said, "You used that influence, didn't you?" At 75, who needs another dress? Who needs a birthday cake? You see, what you need is what's going to have eternal reward and for you to influence your children with the words of God. And they sat right over there and heard a message on grace and humility. She was smiling the whole time. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. They might be outside of your authority where you can command them, but you should never lose your influence. Your testimony will go a long way if it's the right kind of testimony. So Nehemiah, he prays. He was willing to sacrifice and go back. Now he's back. Verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11. "So I came to Jerusalem. I was there 3 days. And I rose in the night." Now he just settles in, looking around, realizing where he's at, realizing, looking around, looking at all the destruction and all the sin and the turmoil of God's people. "And I rose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem." He knew in his heart he wanted to rebuild them. He hadn't really led anybody to do that yet. "And he viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass." The rubble was so devastating. "Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work." I love that. Because the first thing that Nehemiah needed to do was to prepare himself. Before you start trying to prepare the children, or to prepare the husband-wives, or to prepare the wife-husband, prepare yourself. View what's going on and ask God to help you to know exactly how to fix it. Before you can motivate others, you must first motivate yourself. He was motivating himself by viewing it, knowing exactly what had happened and what needed to be done, because he had already had the hand of God upon his life. Verse 17 and 18, once he had motivated himself, verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which is upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Once you have the right inner motivation, once you know that you have the will of God, you have the direction that God wants you to take and use your influence for, then start motivating others. Have a plan of action. We're going to rebuild the walls. The plan of action is to get this place back to where it needs to be. The temple's there. We understand we have the revival was here, and we have the word. We know what the law says. Now we just got to safeguard this city. We got to build the walls. So once we establish something, it doesn't get torn down. But we'll have the safety to keep it going. And so once you understand that, then you have a plan of action, and you start motivating and using your influence to motivate the next in line, husband, your wife, wives, your husbands, church leaders, your church people. And be energetic about it. Now, what would you think if Nehemiah said, "Well, this is what we got to do. Anybody got any ideas how to get it done?" No. God put it in your heart. Your spouse might not even see it as of yet. They might still be blinded to it. Your children are going to be blinded. They're not going to want to sacrifice. They're not going to want to turn away from the things of the world. They're not going to want to live that way outside of the right motivation. Be energetic. You make sure that you know it can work. That's right. I know this can work because I know the Bible. I know it's God's will. I know this is what God would have us to do. Be energetic. Present it in a way that they'll follow you. And then be determined with God's blessings to get it done. Look at verse 17 and 18. "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." Did God open the door for Zerubbabel? Wasn't it God who opened the door for Ezra? Wasn't it God who opened the door for me and the king cupbearer? Listen to me. God is in this thing. And this is what God would have us to do. With God's help, we can get it done. Now, if you ever get to that place, and I trust that you are already there, or you're on your way there, then you have to be aware of the second part of the book of Nehemiah. There's going to be opposition. And you never know where it's going to come from. Yeah, you have to be ready. Because the devil, my goodness, he has some wiles He is able to blind, he's able to deceive, he's able to lead in lies, through lies. Facing the opposition, chapter 4 through chapter 6. If you read that, you're going to find that it reveals the opposition they face was ridicule, slander, threats. I'll run away! There's a door. Yeah. I'm just being serious. Sometimes you got to call their bluff. Yeah, just leave all your clothes because I bought them for you. Yeah, you don't have anything. Naked you come into this life and naked you go out the door. You don't take anything. Now, don't take that literally, but you know what I'm saying. That's your authority. Yeah, let them understand that, no, you don't have a car, you don't have this, you don't have that. How are you going to survive? Sometimes they bluff and parents just fall all apart because of some of the words that they say. You're the authority. You're the leader that God placed over them. Yeah. Threats, discouragements, fears, deceit. When you read through chapter 4 through 6, it's amazing all the things that they went through, what happened to them. Nehemiah chapter 4, let's just touch on just a couple here real quick. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. They're praying and say, God, take care of the enemy. Take care of the opposition. Just continue to strengthen us to do what you have us to do. They would not stop the work. Chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses, for the future of your own children and the future of their children and generations to follow. Listen to me. There is a cause for you to stand up and establish some walls of safety and law and order. Amen. That's what God's calling for. Yeah. Verse 15, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. If God's on your side, it doesn't matter who's against you. If God be for us, who can be against us? That means it doesn't matter. You and God are majority. Chapter 6, it worked. Through all the opposition, through all that they faced, the walls were built. Chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, and they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Can I tell you, that's what it's all about, the testimony of the Christian faith. We're living in not only a world, but a Christian nation where Christianity, true Christianity, is becoming despised and persecuted simply because we believe what the Bible says. It's what the whole nation stood for at one point when they put it on our currency, in God we trust. And they had the Ten Commandments displayed in every government office, in our public school systems. Even when I was in the public school system, we opened every morning in prayer.
We've not gone anywhere. We have held to the truths of God's word. There is a creator God who has a plan and a purpose for humanity.
And they want to now peg those who want to stand upon this Bible as cults. How sad. It's not like we were never warned of that. If you know your Bible at all, you see prophecy unveiling itself right before your eyes. In all of the world disasters, in all the mentality of humanity and the direction of apostasy that the world is going, listen to me, that is prophecy being revealed before our very eyes. That ought to be enough for you to realize. The most important thing for me to do as a Christian is establish a Christian testimony. That's the light of the world, and that's the salt of the earth. Establish a Christian home. That is the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Raise Christian children. That is the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That is a testimony that this world needs to see. Attend a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. That's a testimony. Put your tithe to use in serving God. You will give an account where you put your tithe. You don't tithe to the church, you tithe to God, and you better make sure that the church you are putting your tithe into is doing the work that God has commanded the church to do. Amen. That's the salt of the earth. That's the light of the world. Yeah. There will be opposition. The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you can have the victory that God wants you to have. And the last, we find that they restored law and order. The walls, now the safety, and now they could establish what they wanted to live by within the walls. And I love this, in chapter 8, they call Ezra to ask him to come preach a revival. In Nehemiah chapter 8, it best describes a New Testament church service better than any other chapter in the Bible. It really does. It's a blessing to see it. This has always been God's plan. What we're doing here tonight has always been God's plan. We see it here in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, united as one. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. What God had revealed at this particular time, that's all they had, is the Pentateuch. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. All that could hear with understanding. Some of you getting upset, 4 years of age, come on. They can start understanding. We just changed that where it's 4 years. They come out of the nursery now and they're in the auditorium. And we don't have junior church Sunday, but listen to me, they're at that age, they can start understanding. They need to start understanding, amen, why we are in church and what is happening with the preacher up there and what's taking place. Yeah, I didn't get many amens there, but that's all right, let's go on. Both men and women, all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. All right. Before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They were not playing with their phones, and they were not texting, and they were not writing notes, and they were not looking around, well, thinking about what they're going to do after church. They were what God intends for us to do in church, attentive. Yeah. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mathiah and Shema and all these different names on the left hand. And then we go on down in verse 5, it says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, so that they could see him and that he had the laws of God before him. And when he opened it, all the people stood up as respect unto God.
And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. The most biblical way to respond in a worship service is with the Amen. Clapping and giving applause, that's not a sin. There's nothing really wrong with that, but it's not the best way to respond. The best way to respond in a worship service is with the simple Amen. Yeah, that's Bible. That's just Bible. He goes on to say, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and Bani and Sharon, all these different names again, caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Taking the word of God and helping the people to better understand what God wants them to understand. That's preaching. That's a definition of preaching. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. Every word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Wow. The walls are set. Safety. Establishing law and order in the safety of the walls. Structure. Then they dedicated themselves to that very structure. Chapter 10 and verse 39. And almost, just done, almost here. Chapter 10, verse 39. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn and new wine and the oil unto the chambers, which where are the vessels of the sanctuary and the priests and the ministers and the porters and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our God. This is God's will. We're not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're going to continue to do it. And in doing it, they found what you ought to be able to find when you come to church, if your heart and mind's where it ought to be, and you're wanting to do what God says to do. Joy. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 27. At the dedication of the wall of the Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. They did it with gladness and thanksgiving. And lastly, in verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. The testimony of your family will impact others for good or for bad. Your testimony will impact others for good or for bad. We need more believers, Christians, to dedicate themselves to safeguard, to establish law and order so there can be structure in all that we do. God does everything decently and in order. There has to be structure. Walls restored brought about stability and structure. Wow. What a blessing. As you read through the book of Nehemiah, get a hold of all that God has for you in that book. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. They built the wall. They built the temple. Praise the Lord for the temple being built, but that wasn't enough. They'd even restored the word, but that wasn't enough. God opened another door for there to be safety.
walls built. So that they might have safety, law, and order, and structure. I don't know just how God might have used that to speak to your heart tonight, but if He has, if you have a decision that needs to be made, we invite you to make that decision. Father, we bow before You now. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for this book of Nehemiah and these biblical principles that we learn from this book, and I pray that You'd help us to make the application in our own lives, even here tonight. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.